I saw the newscast last night and I read the paper this morning about the response and reaction to the Passion. And I am so furious, I don't even know how to spit.
We missed the chance to set up a little card table in the hallway and hand stuff
out. Oh, don't start. In 1976, I published a book called Crossfire. And the publisher had me go on a speaking tour. And I went to the Christian Booksellers Association, which happened to be here in Dallas, I think, that year. I'm getting old. But I walked into that place, and it was row after row after row after row of little stalls with people hawking stuff, Christian stuff. Little gimmicks to cause your flock to become more spiritual. And I left. I wouldn't stay there. I got sick to my stomach. And then a couple years, when did we go to Philadelphia? 95 or something like that. Anyway, Harry and I went to this conference. It's called Evangelical Ministries to New Religions. And we walked in. And again, there was a row of tables in an auditorium. And this is the speakers that are supposed to be our allies. These are the people who are the discernment ministries to see whether or not people are falling into heresy or truth. So, and there again, there were row after row after row of tables with people set up to sell their stuff. And we were invited to, we were going to sponsor the meeting for the next year, the annual conference. And I went and met with our board of directors and said, we will sponsor it under one condition, that you not have these tables set up, where instead of that, we'll give each speaker an honorarium. And they wouldn't do it. They thought that it was necessary for their survival to be able to sell their books and materials when they spoke. Yesterday, in all these churches that had bought out tickets for people to see the Passion, part of the agreement when they bought out the theaters, the churches that bought out the full theaters or groups of churches, they set up tables. So when people went in to see the Passion, there were all these little tables of evangelical tools to help the people that were moved by the Passion to sell their or to give away their little goodies. Words can't express the sadness about this. Does anybody understand what I'm talking about? I know Harry does. To go see a movie as powerful as a Passion and come out, maybe in tears, and have somebody there passing out bumper stickers or little pamphlets, there's something wrong. There's something. Do you have any response, Gary?
Yeah.
This used to be your world.
Yeah, I understand that mentality of Ed and I had a talk about it yesterday, and a lot of people, he said, were complaining that, well, why do they have to show all this suffering? Why can't they show the good side? He had to go to the cross, but he's risen, you know, so that people don't want to look at that. They just want to feel good about their, you know, discovering Jesus as a Savior. So they don't have a clue about the necessity of the preaching of the cross, what the cross means. It's just not in their mentality. And so they're in another completely different place. And they, in that place then, think they're right to try and take care of anybody else who's there. I mean, it's I don't know, it might be innocent in some way. And they might really, I'm sure they really believe it.
Does it bother anybody else as much as it bothers me?
I don't like to see it, but I think I understand.
Alex?
It seems sort of, I mean, maybe unknowingly, but like a little like almost predatorial.
If it is predatory, that's a great description. Yeah, it just
reminds me of that description of Amalek. Amalek laid in wait. It's like this movie. I haven't seen it, but with everything in me, I expect it to be something that will cause many people to break. And in that moment of weakness, in that moment of innocence, to then leap upon them is just hideous. It's hideous.
It's like the homeless.
You know,
it's like the homeless shelters where they make you, you know, sing for your supper or something. I mean, it's just. Something is terribly, terribly wrong.
It reminds me of, like, when I go out to park and you have these Jehovah's Witnesses with the tables and their little pamphlets and stuff. They're always trying to give you a pamphlet or something, whatever.
I always give them dirty looks.
You just look at them, in other words.
That's better than me saying something to them.
Well, I say something to them. But it makes me crazy. It just cheapens everything that the mystery of God is about.
I mean, to me, it's no different though than the guy that goes to a location and says, "Okay, if you want to build a church here, here's the process. You know, you have X number of invitations, and you know, it's a multi-level marketing scheme to build a church, and it's all about numbers." You know, I don't know how many times I've seen on the news say that, you know, this movie's could reach as many as block several million people. Is it God's interested in numbers?
There's a one time, a long time ago, as some of you know, I had a talk show, and I was concerned about numbers, the number of people listening. And I just was studying about, I guess it was David, but anyway, there's a scripture that says, "Thou shalt not number my people, saith the Lord of hosts. For in their numbering you bring glory to flesh, and no flesh shall glory in my presence." And there's some reason that it was 400 years, or the 4th century anyway, before there was a building called a church. Because it would... How could you glory in having 10 or 20 people?
One of the things that this says to me, this movie, I guess, and the response is exposing the incredible ignorance that we live in, this nation that claims Christ. And from what we understand, you don't understand at all.
Well, it's just children.
There it is to see before you. You don't suspect it's that bad.
Remember that one of the things that John, when I wrote, is the deal about when you go to church, you shouldn't be seated in comfortable pews, carpeted or whatever you call them, cushioned pews. They should issue crash helmets. Because there's no telling when the glory of God will be revealed. Let's look at the least studied scripture in evangelical Christianity a minute. Matthew 23. I won't. I'm this is a bad night because so this morning I watched Benny Hinn and he had Mark Sharona. Now, Benny Hinn lives in an $8.5 million house. He's buying a $3.5 million ranch over here. Mark Sharona lives in a multi-million-dollar house, living next to Tiger Woods in winter or whatever it is, Florida. And they're just, it's a circle jerk.
Right,
huh?
Did you say that?
No, I can't say that. I didn't say that. That was somebody else. But they're just, oh, Benny, you're such a great man of God. You're the Elijah for the nations.
No, you are.
Then Mark, I just appreciate you so much for how much you've done. They make me crazy. There's hundreds of thousands of homeless people, and they're living in $8-10 million homes. And then the paper came late, and I read the paper, and it's a passion, and there are churches and religious groups and para-religious groups are passing out pamphlets in the audience after people are leaving the audience in total silence. They're stunned, tears, and here's some idiot giving them a pamphlet. Well, listen, Matthew 23:15. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you go over sea and land to make one convert, and when he is made, you make him twice the child of hell that you are. The child of hell is only defined once in the scripture, in Genesis, at the beginning. And it's one who judges for himself good and evil, right and wrong, instead of living in that moment of dependence on God 24 hours a day. He's got to have a rule. Man has already eaten of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So he's already made himself a little god. And then he goes to church and he gets a whole bunch of more rules. So he's twice the child of hell. No wonder Jesus took that scourge the money changers in the temple. Woe unto you, blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within are full of extortion and excess. Now, blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but within are full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so you also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Go to Matthew 7. Not Matthew, Mark, the other M guy. Mark 7. Mark 7. Verse 14. When he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, "Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he said unto them, Are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him, because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats? And he said, That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All these things come from within and defile the man. There is nothing that we can do from without to purify except die. We must. Martin Luther said that each person must come to the place that Jesus was in the cross, where you say from everything within you, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And there is no answer. And just as Jesus had to wait for the resurrection, so must each one of us. And if you have not come to the place where you know, my God, why have you forsaken me? Then you cannot know the resurrection. The best you will know is hypocrisy. Learning how to act better. Unfortunately, it's still going on here. How shall I say? What shall I say? How shall I act? Because there's a reporter in the room. Who gives a crap? I'm sorry.
That's what I'm thinking.
Huh?
That's exactly what I'm thinking.
Well, I know, Ronnie, because I can always depend on you.
Well, yes, Mrs. Cleaver, we were just discussing.
Made me think of Matthew. That's where I thought you were going, to Matthew 7:23, where it says that not everyone saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom. So I'm sure everybody thinks they're doing great works for God.
I'm starting to understand why. Why J.W. calls church buildings whorehouses. Because there's something that happens when you put on your Sunday best that makes you a whore, a hypocrite. I mean, hopefully you all know that I've asked you to put on your Saturday night worst. To reveal who you are, what you are. Let it all hang out. And people get mad at me because I say fuck on a Bible study.
Because they're peachy
green. There is nothing from without that defileth. It's that which is within each of us that defiled, that is already defiled. The most, if you read the Gospels, the thing that he comes against most is hypocrisy. You know, speaking of reporters, I mean, we've had a jillion reporters here over the years. And there's never been anything, a bad article about us. Why?
Well, not yet.
Oh, yeah.
Working on it.
No, because their job is to reveal the ridiculousness of life. I me. He's not going to find anything admirable here. I mean, look around. What are we going to? We're going to put on a tie? Is John going to clean himself up?
We've got one.
Huh? This is John.
He's looking. I showered this morning.
Good morning, John.
Is Ronnie going to become nice?
What?
No, the point of life is that we finally can stop acting. You can be who you are. No matter, and the job of this community is to protect that and never to tell you what to do, what to wear, what to be. If the power of God within you, if the seed of Christ in you isn't sufficient, then nothing you can do outwardly is going to get you anywhere anyway. If you don't know that by now, but the only thing the world knows about Christianity is what they see on Christian television. I don't want them to know about Christianity by looking at us either. You get a name tag.
That's
they give you a name tag, and then they say, "Okay, now everybody, turn around and hug your brother and tell him you love him." I may not even like you, and I got to put my arm around you and tell you I love you. Gary, you're itching to say something.
Well, I'm just thinking at all these sins you read about a minute ago. Especially covering up all the stuff that's within us. And how, I don't know if that's the right way to say it, how delightful it is to hear that. Because that's the very thing that I don't have to be subject to if I'm in a man. That's what I've been delivered out of. But seeing it, I like the clarity here. And this film that come out, I think it's just going to produce amazing clarity because everybody's going nuts. It's funny that everybody kind of gets opportunistic too. You know, it's like all the churches running out to hand out pamphlets and maybe increase the size of their churches or whatever the motivation.
Well, it's because it's almost a childish thing. It's like,
well, it's, I mean, the attitude is God needs my help. God's
need our help.
There's this opportunity, and He needs our efforts to be successful.
We want Him to be successful too. Yeah.
You don't care if it.
I hope it's not I mean, I hope it isn't, but.
It's benefited from all this controversy.
Yeah. I got extremely upset that that Gibson was using the churches to market the film, to do the sellouts of what they've done. And I said so on the CBS program. I said, God doesn't need your help. Just from what I know about the movie, it stands on itself. And so, who knows? I mean, I'm thankful from what I know that, and I've read, they did send me the script, but it wasn't the final script. I found out later that it stops you at my God, why have you forsaken me? And then there's no answer until there's his resurrection within you. But let me read what Luther said. I think it would be very apropos for right now, people that are seeing this. This is from a meditation on Christ's passion. Martin Luther, 1519. You must get this through your head and not doubt that you are the one who tortured Christ. Thus, for your sins have surely wrought this. Therefore, when you see the nails piercing Christ's hands, you can be sure it is your work. When you behold his crown of thorns, you may rest assured that these are your thoughts. His passion simply meant that I died without his suffering. Without that unbearable suffering. The human race died on the cross. That was the last chance. I mean, look, hear the words again. By one offering, you have been perfected forever. All things happen for your sake. You own all things. It is finished. Your only job is to be at rest. The hallmark of the Messiah is peace. We are in the Messianic age. It's over. It's Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's not a moral option. Why is it that all these churches that are passing out pamphlets aren't feeding the hungry and aren't taking them into their homes? That's the homeless are the real pamphlets. The people in need, the people who can't get a job because they don't have an address, the people that can't see a doctor because there's no way, they don't know how to access the system.
Well, that's what they're thinking, that there are agencies out there specifically for that kind of type of.
Yeah, if they'd stay one night in some one of those agencies, they see how bleak
so,
they are.
So, you know, there's no need for me to take a home person. Go down on Sundays and feed them and sing some songs and read a scripture and I'll fulfill my duty of Christian poor need.
We haven't, you know, we take people into our homes, but we haven't done anything compared to what has been done for us. Yeah. We are the richest of the rich and yet we continue to hoard.
Earlier about like that, if
But I also think it's the same kind of predatorial to go feed a homeless person on Thanksgiving or Christmas. Yeah. It's predatory.
Yeah. So, I was going to say, I like to think that it's, for the most part, sort of, you know, subconscious or whatever. People, you know, acting, aren't aware of how you make decisions. But I see it a little too much.
Well, but they're not, I don't think people are, obviously they're trying to do the best thing, but I think it's a childish thing. It's like, it's what I said earlier. It's like they've given children atomic bombs or something. And it, I mean, and again, this has nothing to do with who's saved or who isn't saved or any of that. That's never our business. Who's going to take you, Ronnie?
Wade
and Ronnie have to leave us. Because Ronnie has to go get his physical therapy.
Yeah.
See if they can do something about your girth.
It's a metal therapy.
But it is childish. Utilitarianness is always a childish thing. Anyhow,
I want to tell you what I think is a humorous thing. I wish I could take credit for it, but I can't. It's totally serendipitous. Our first ad for the magazine went up on the web yesterday, and it's
what are you talking about?
An ad for our magazine, the first one ever, went up on the internet yesterday. It's at Landover Baptist Church. It's on the front page of their site, and it's the Jerry Falk or the Pat Robertson cover, and it says, you know, you can burn this magazine just as well as a book. And it's right next to their special Passion of the Christ downloadable flyer that you can nail to the door of your unbelieving neighbor. And when you download the flyer, what it is, it's a special admission package to see the movie The Passion of the Christ, and when you purchase that, you get admission to the movie, you get an olive wood bowl size popcorn, giant popcorn thing. You get a necklace made of nails. The ushers come up and down the aisles and mist you with blood. It just goes on and on and on. So that's our first sponsorship. And it was by accident.
All right, anybody have anything else?
That troubled me.
Saying you marketing people are Satan incarnate. You're the most evil beings on the face of the earth. And to prove it, you can't wait to get home and take what I just said and use it.
Vanity is so rooted in the hearts of men that those that write about it desire the glory of having written it well, and those who read about it want the glory of having read it. All right, take it, big guy.